Will you sanctuary for you? Sing it unto him now and think about it. Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for. Amen and amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary. Is that your desire? If you'd like turning to Scripture, turn to Revelation 3. We've been reading from verse 14. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Remember my wife, she's not feeling too good this morning. She's having a lot of trouble sleeping some at night and things. It's messing her up. And she's also got a weakness for some reason that... you know, she just gets real weak and everything. So just keep her in your prayers and everything. All of this with her eyes and the operations and the things. And they're saying now they're going to have to maybe operate again if it doesn't clear up. So all of that's just burdening on her and everything and giving her problems. So, you know, she'll be here, the Lord willing, this afternoon. But just keep her in your prayers. Glad to have our visitors with us, our visitor. We're not talking about Daniel and Rachel's mother, because they're not a visitor, they're part of us. But we have our brother back here, and we always say when you come one time, you're a visitor. When you come two times, you're just part of us, and we say welcome to you. But it is good to see Rachel's dad and mother with us, and the Lord willing, he doesn't know it yet, but he knows now he will be preaching this coming Wednesday. So that'll be, you know, he can get ready. Maybe they won't work him too hard the first part of the week, you know, trying to get the house fixed up and all, but just remember that. And I want to thank everybody from my wife and myself for all of the Christmas presents, the gifts and everything that were given unto us. We really, really do appreciate them. They're wonderful, and we thank you very much and all. And I know we didn't announce it. I forgot to Wednesday, but you know, last Sunday when we had the prayer for everybody, Sister Kathy Gabriel told me to tell everybody that she had a real bad headache when she came up here, and it all left. So we believe it. And Mary said that her eyes was doing better. So we appreciate the Lord for that. And I hope there's more testimonies to come out of it, you know, because I believe the Lord was with us and everything, you know, and just keep confessing it, and it'll come to pass once you keep confessing it. All right. I don't think we have any more. The Watch Night service, Brother David Gadman will be here with us. We'll begin tomorrow night about 8 o'clock. Tuesday night. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. A week from tomorrow. Yeah. I'm trying to get all of my announcements, and I get them all, and if I don't write them down, I mess them up. But a week from tomorrow. But anyhow, Brother David Gadman will be with us to do the Watch Night service for us. And we could have one tomorrow night, and then never know. But he might not be here. But anyhow, just remember that. And the Lord willing, Wade and I'm going to ride with him out to... He's done said I was going to have to preach, but I'm not going to do it. So, good then. You can have mine. But I'm going to ride with him out to Oklahoma there in January. And Brother Jewel Forney's son-in-law, Brother Carlos, will be preaching here on that Sunday services on the 13th. I believe it's right now. So we'll make sure and get all these announcements out of the way. And also just remember that. Revelation 3. Father, we thank you. We love you. We cherish your presence and your understanding of each and every one of us. We pray that you would just bless now and guide and direct us, that you'd keep us. And Lord, that we may walk in you and be led of your love, because that's our desire. We pray you just bless us today. We know your word is already blessed, the prophet said. But we ask you to bless us with your presence to speak and to also to be able to hear. Because we truly believe faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And every age has the word unto it that he is speaking to the churches. He that hath an ear. So just let us be what you want us to be. Forgive our sins. Touch each one. Remember a wife this morning. Touch her body and just deliver her from all of these things. And lead us in thy loving grace in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been reading Revelation 3:14 for quite a while. Maybe this afternoon we'll get a little further, but we'll see. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessings to the reading of the word. Now, I gave you most of these last week, but I figured most everybody would forget them or leave them or do something, so I ran back over most of what we had for last Sunday, because I only got just a little bit. Oh, and two, Sister Barbara's husband, Dr. Sher Ali, he's made a thing called Jesus in the Koran. See, we knew that it was there, that it was spoke of Jesus and all. And he doesn't, I'm not throwing off on what he's put in here, because he put it in here good. I enjoyed it, I read it, and there's only about 5 copies. So if you want a copy of it, get it, pass it around, you know, because we don't have a whole lot of them. But it does describe Jesus in the Koran, but it doesn't do, of course I know he doesn't mean for it to emphasize like we do of who he is, but at least it was spoken of in the Koran about Jesus, but it called him Almighty God in the Koran. So, you know, that's who he was and all. But we just read them and, you know, take what you can out of it for your understanding. But we've been talking about the church ages to the new one. We've been in the book of Revelations now for quite a while. This makes about 32 sermons, I think, in the book of Revelations, and we'll probably be here about 32 more to try to finish up one of these days, but no worry. Time doesn't mean anything to God in the revealing of his word. But, you know, just bear with me, because I'm trying to get a point to you now. I'm trying to get something that will be very valuable to you in the future. And in doing that, then, you know, sometimes I'm lengthy about doing it, but I'm trying to get the material, because I'm a firm believer of one thing. If you don't get the mechanics, then the dynamics cannot, you know, quicken something that you don't have. So I cannot be the mechanics. All I can do is try to, by the Holy Spirit, be led to plant the mechanics, you know, to where the dynamics can come up on it and quicken it unto you. So I would listen, because last Sunday Sunday afternoon I kind of hit a highlights in a message there that now we must drop back and kind of go through, you know, what I was bringing and all. And we read here in the the prophet's message, as we'll read in a minute, we know that he said each age gets a salutation, a greeting, a revelation of God. All right, each age gets that. And then when it gets that revelation, then the overcomer to that age, the part of the overcoming will be related to what's revealed to that church age. So he didn't reveal to the first church age that he was the beginning of the creation of God. Looks like, if I was writing it, I'm honest, you know, if I was writing it, that's what I would have put. See, because of the start of it. But, now as we'll get to it after a while, Paul had already talked about us being a new creature in Christ Jesus. Alright? So then we come to the end time, to the beginning of the creation of God, and the prophet said that was the capstone revelation of the Bible. Alright? So then that would not be put down at the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the revelation of Jesus Christ in the new birth.
Right.
The build upon the foundation of apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. All right. Now, so that would be the beginning, and we'll get to it in a little while of what we've been covering. But I hope you caught the point that I was trying to make, that it says he's the beginning, we read there, the beginning of the creation of God. All right? Now, we read that in literal words, you know. But have you ever read something in literal words that, you know, literally you read the words, but that's not what it's getting to? See, that's the way the Bible's written. The Bible's written in literal words. But it must be revealed. Alright? Now, it's not different what is revealed to what is on the pages. No, no, no. See, a lot of people now saying we gotta read between the lines. Well, they get between the lines and they don't get anything that the lines is saying. They come up with their own idea. But now, I don't agree with that away. I believe what's written between the lines will be spoken upon the lines. What's between the lines is the revelation. We read about Abraham and Sarah and how that all of the things happen, you know, and this man wants to take Sarah as his wife, and she's about 65 or 90 or one of the two, you know, and there it comes up that he's taking this old grandma for his wife. Well, see, that's not written that she was turned back to a young woman. That's written between the lines. That's the revelation of what took place. All right? So the revelation is what's written between the lines, but you cannot get between the lines something that is not upon the lines. See, that's what everybody's doing in the message. They say, well, the seventh seal is not written, so I'll just make it anything I want to. They've made it polygamy. They've made it two souls. They've made it kind of doctrines. But, see, they're out of the message because they're not staying with what the prophet had to say. All right. See, then what I'm wanting you to do is look at it. See, he's the beginning of the creation of God. All right? Now, we read that, as I said a moment ago, and we think about a beginning. We think something has to start. And then we say the beginning of. And see, we make it as something to start. When the Bible is not dealing with something to start, the eternal never had a place to start. The eternal God never had a place to start, so you're using human terminologies, which is all we can do, but not waiting upon God for the revelation. We make it that God had a beginning. Right, you say, well, the prophet said so. I agree with you. I believe that. I'm the one that brings you the quotes about those things. All right? But think about it. God never had a beginning. But he did. Now listen. See, here's where you go. See, it's hard to preach by revelation. It's easy to preach quotes, or it's easy to preach clothesline holiness and beat everybody over the head and everything else, and you go home feeling good, you know. But it's hard to preach by revelation. See, God never had a beginning. There was a time that God began to reveal himself. Now you see the difference? You say, well, I agree, that's the beginning of the creation of God, when he began to reveal himself. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. God began back there to condescend to where that we could see who he is and what he is. Now that's the beginning of the creation of God. All right. See, then we say, well, in the beginning was the Word. Well, see, that sounds like there was a time there wasn't no Word. Then a Word begun. No. That's not what you're trying to get. See, that's what man is doing with their ideas. See? Not going to the revelation, they're going to their own intellect of trying to figure out what something is saying instead of taking the revelation of what it said. then they won't stay with what it said. You'll find them always changing somewhere. Just keep listening. Just keep listening to these people. After a while, you'll see them. They'll start changing things a little. Then you know that there's something wrong. All right. And if I do that, come to me. And tell me about it. All right. Because we don't want to do that. We're not to change what the prophet said. It's only by what the prophet said can we get a revelation from Almighty God in this day that we're living. All right. So he's the beginning of the creation of God. Our God began to bring himself toward man that man could understand him. And as he did, you call that a beginning. That's just like we've covered over and over and over. We say the end of something. See, the end of all things has come upon us. You know, that's 2,000 years ago when Paul said them things. But see, that's not what he's not saying end like we do, like you go up to a wall and boom, that's it, as far as you can go. No. See? That's not what the word end means. The word end is actually a new beginning. The end of the first seal is when the second seal opened. Like that. The end of the revelation of God upon the earth is when we go into glory and just begin to be God, to begin to reveal himself to us down through the endless ages. Because that's what the prophet said, we get a message of cheer. All right? But see, you see what I was trying to get the point to you. The beginning of the creation of God is when God began to bring himself downward to where you and I could understand. And the first is that it's got to be understood in a spiritual extent. Then a physical comes into being. See, then that way you can follow things down and keep it in line. Now, so now let's just read some things the prophet had to say. Because I told you, I done that Wednesday, past Sunday, to just kind of preach a message. You know, if you didn't hear it, I would invite you to listen to it. And I would say that you're backslid today if you haven't, if you've had an opportunity, because you won't understand what's being said today. Oh, Brother Dell, I hear every word you say. That's the problem. Is hearing every word that's said and not praying for a revelation. And Brother Gary there can go back into seals. Brother Gary Atkins can go back into seals that I preached in 82 and probably tell you every other word that I said in them. But that is not a revelation. That is only an intellectual concept. It must be revealed. I was listening this morning coming up to the church. The prophet's talking about on the token. You can be able to do all that. He said, you're just able to read. Just able to read. Right. See, now let's get started on this age, because this age, now I've said this to you, and I'll keep saying it over and over. This is the final age. You agree? The final age of mankind, the seventh church age. The age we're existing in is the last age of the Gentile dispensation. When it will end, we don't know. We're not concerned about it. I've never been worried about when it would end. I've been worried about when it ends, am I going to be ready? That's the point, you know. It's not whether or not that the river's there, it's whether or not I can get across it. All right? But now, each age gets a revelation to that age. Now, in doing that, that is what God is doing in that age. You understand that? That's what he's doing in that age. He revealed to the first church age what he was doing in that age. Second, third, fourth, fifth, on up, see? And in the seventh church age, we will get to it later when we get down to the overcomer, this is the age when we will not be looking for something somewhere else. As each age always had to look forward to the next age. Remember, each age inherits the previous age. But see, each one of them was looking forward. listening to a time for God to make manifest the things that he said. But in this age, we're not looking forward. We're looking to the present tense of what God is doing. Because what he's revealing to the age is what he's doing. All right? See, then you'll see when we get to the overcomer that you can sit with me in my throne as I've overcome and sit my Father in his throne. You'll see that it totally relates to this age. All right? My whole point is this age, if we believe this to be the last age, if we believe the message to be the capstone revelation, then we're not looking for something in heaven. We're looking at what's being revealed on earth. All right. Then you'll find out that even the Revelations 4 and 5 has a lot to do with where we are right now. I just keep dropping that in to make your interest to where that you'll go read those things, and then we'll get back and preach on it. But see, don't look for something somewhere else. One of these days now, it's going to be revealed about this beginning of the creation of God. No, it's being revealed now. This is not something that just, we started, Brother Moat and I were preaching this in 1970, 71. So you can see how long we've been talking about it. All right? This is not some new thing. We were sitting at the house one day and a man come up and, you know, and he was talking about something and he said something to Brother Moat and Brother Moat just laid it out like that, you know, straight through the message about what he's talking about. And the man said, "How'd you know that?" He said, "It's just now come out." Brother Moat said, "It's been out ever since the prophet said it." You know, but see, they was the ones that started it, and that was his point. You know. But now let's get into the message. Look what your prophet has to say now. And I brought this to you because I mentioned it last Sunday. And that's what I want to bring the point to make sure you understood last Sunday. And look at number one on your notes, which is the very top one. It's taken from the questions and answers on Genesis 1953:7-29. He was, in other words, the first man in Adam, the first man in lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. Now, Brother Branham didn't have no problem saying that. Right? But the first creation was God himself. Why should we have any trouble with him? Well, he just made a slip of the tongue. That's your business. See? All right. The first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which is Word, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of the Logos came forth the man. All right. Now as I said, don't think of beginning of a creation or first of a creation. See? With our human terminologies. Sure, we can say he was the first of all things. Right? We know that because he was the eternal God. But think of it as God revealing himself. Amen. As he begins to condescend, he begins to take on forms, changing his form, not his nature or ways or person. That's why we don't believe in the Trinities and the things like that. Yeah. Because we've proven by the Bible and the prophet's message that John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and Word was God. Verse 3 said all things were made by him. Who? Jesus Christ. Hebrews 1, see? God in sundry times and divers manner. Go on down. All things created by him. Who? Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:9, all things created by Jesus Christ. Colossians, changing his form to reveal himself. Not many gods, the one true and living God. But as he changes his form, see, that's our trouble. Then people will step over and go to the oneness and think they've got it. But changing his form doesn't do away with any of his existence prior to that form. As I showed you over and over, God always had the attributes to be a Savior. They just wouldn't anything lost. He always had the attributes to be a healer. They just wasn't anything that needed to be healed. But they were in him. He didn't develop them as he come to earth. He only made a manifest upon earth. So when we talk about him changing form, see, then that's what the prophet said. The first creation, God himself. What? Condescending. All right. Bringing it down to where we could talk about Elohim. Excuse me. The self-existing. I'm talking about the self-existing. I'm having problems with this old hearing aid that they want me to wear, because it's hard to talk normal like I used to talk normal. All right? Sometimes I get too loud. Sometimes I get too low. You bear with me until I get through with it. If I get too loud, I lose my voice. It's all right? So I can take care of that. But listen, that's where them things, you know, after you get so old, you got to have all these aids, you know. You don't develop AIDS like the disease. You have to have all the AIDS. Hearing AIDS, roll AIDS, band AIDS, and stuff like that, you know. You got to have all of that to go with your life to exist. All right? But thank God for them. Thank God for glasses, you know. I hate to wear them, but thank God for them, and, you know, and all. But, you know, we still believe he's the healer. Okay. But now listen. The message to this age now, we'll read it after a while, it's the capstone revelation of God. Or the finish of the revelation of God that we get while we're here. Alright? So in doing that, then, don't think that we're going to wait until we get somewhere to get something. What we get here is a foundation for what we're going to receive there. But we must have this here to make the change. Now, if you're all right with you to go by the grave and let somebody else have to pull you out of the grave and bring you up, that's all right. You go right ahead. That's your choice. But in this age, I'm not satisfied with anything else of going by the grave. I'm looking forward to a change. We fought it out down through the 40 years or more of our existence in the message, and I'm not willing to lay down now. I'm willing or ready to move on and drive harder than ever. And I'm sorry sometimes I do drive too hard, but still you remember I love you and I at least don't act like most of these preachers do. All right. But see, this age, will get the full revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ that is going to be revealed while we're on earth. Alright? Then in doing that, then, look at what it says about it, see? That he's the author, our finisher. He's the beginning, he's the ending. He's all in all is going to be revealed to this age. Alright? See? Then truly listen to what the prophet had to say. Let's start now on number 1A of your notes. I had these Sundays, so I put them back in. Just put a 331 Church Age book. My, isn't that the most wonderful description? Now, he just read, you know, the 314, the beginning of the creation of God. My, isn't that the most wonderful description of the attributes of our lovely Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? These words just make me want to shout. They bring such a spirit of reality into my heart. Just reading them without even waiting for a thorough revelation of the Spirit upon them thrills me.
Amen.
Now listen to it. Jesus is giving us this description of himself in relation to the last age. Now this description is not in relation to the first age, second age. All that is a background, but this is relation to this age now. The days of grace are winding up. He has looked from the first century right through to the 20th and told us all things concerning these ages. Before he reveals the characteristic of this last age to us, he gives us one final look at his own gracious and supreme deity. This is the capstone revelation of himself. Thus saith the Amen. Jesus is the Amen of God. Jesus is the so let it be of God. Amen stands for finality. It stands for approval. It stands for prevailing promise. It stands for unchanging promise. It stands for the seal of God. The true revelation of one true and living God is to be capped off in the seventh church age by the revelation to this age. And see, I'm not looking. I've told you this in the 70s. I'm not looking for something to come down out of the sky. I'm not looking for us to be sitting here and all at once, here comes down, maybe 70, 80 of us today, and all at once something comes down and just caps off each one of us, and we just all look around and we can just see each other's little cap on our heads, you know. And I'm not making fun. I know what happened in the upper room. But it does say that it appeared unto each one of them, and it doesn't say that the rest of them could see it. Because it was in them, there in the upper room. See? Alright? See, then to me, the headstone is the message of the hour that the prophet brought unto us. That he had to build a background back to the faith of the fathers from 33 until 62 and the ending of it. And then he began his message in 1963 by the opening of the seals. And delivered that for about 3 years there unto us. I believe that's the headstone. Alright. Now the Shekinah glory is the glory of the Lord that anoints the headstone. Amen. But the headstone, I can show you where the prophet said, it was those two tables of stone that went into the temple back there when they got through building the temple in the days of Solomon. See the word. Then the Shekinah glory came. Right? But see, then that was made flesh among us that we're going to talk about today. And there rode on a white donkey going into Jerusalem was the headstone. Why? Because he was the Word. The Word that was in the beginning with God. Alright? And in doing that, see, then we look at the revelation of the age and see what's taking place. Now listen to what I'm saying. When Solomon finished the temple, right? The last thing was the tables of stone. You know, the Ark of the Covenant, right? Okay. Then the Shekinah glory came when everything was in present, you know, in position. Now, I thought we believed that we were the body of Jesus Christ. And I thought that we believed down through seven church ages that body was being made. And as it was in the Old Testament, of the prophets building, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph building the foundation, the prophets building the body, the last being John the Baptist to come to introduce the head, and that Jesus Christ was the head to that church. That's what I thought. That's what I've always tried to preach. Well, all right, then you have your foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and then you got seven church ages building the body. Right? Then in the end time, just before the coming of the headstone, Elijah is to appear again. See? To forerun the coming word. Right? Well, see, then the message would be the headstone. Alright? And see, as that word is being revealed to you, would that not be the Shekinah glory? Sure, I'm looking for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen, because the prophet said it. He said it'd fill every fiber of our being and take us in the rapture. I'm looking for that. But if we're not prepared, If we're not in the right place, he said, being in the wrong ranks at the rapture would be no excuse. Wrong ranks to you brothers, you know what I'm talking about. One step out, you're in ranks, you're just messing up the whole rank, but you're still in step. One half a step out is all it takes. Then you're in the wrong ranks. All right? But see, in that, the Word is the headstone to the end time. In this church age that we're in, we've got to be birthed out of the age into the message of the hour. See, then I'm not looking for a headstone to come. I'm looking at the headstone, which is the message. All right? And God revealing that to you and I, the Holy Spirit. Once it's complete, because just because part of the temple was built, there was no Shekinah glory. Even when they got everything ready, even though they had the Word upon the grounds of the temple, there was no Shekinah glory. There was no Shekinah glory until the Word went into the total position that it was supposed to be in, and everybody backed out, showing that it was Almighty God. And when it did, then the Shekinah glory came. See, our part is to get ourselves in position, adoption, etc., to be ready for that Shekinah glory. Because if not, we're going to go by the grave. That's our choice. All right? See, we can argue about this or that or the other. It's just the grave or either the change. Uh-huh. See, then if it's the grave, we go by the grave. Well, somebody else will have to pull us out of the ground. Uh-huh. Now, don't worry about it. I'm not concerned. What I'm concerned with is me and you getting in the right place. Because when everything was right in the temple, all the musicians was in their place playing for the glory of the Lord. All the house cleaners was in their place cleaning, doing for the glory of the Lord. All of the priests was in their place, the preachers, for the glory of the Lord. Everything being done for the glory of the Lord. Then the Shekinah glory could come. Alright, that's what I'm looking for now. Alright, so now let's begin into the message and just move on a little bit. Look what he says on 336, number 2 on your note. 336, Church Age Book, the beginning of the creation of God. That is who the Lord Jesus says He is. But those words don't mean exactly as they sound to us. That's what He's saying. Just taking them the way they sound has made some people, in fact multitudes of people, get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making Him lower than Godhead. Then this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatsoever it contains, but that is not right. You know that doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. The words are, He is the beginner or author of the creation of God. And He goes to show you who created all things. We know that surety that Jesus is very God, very God. He is the Creator, John 1:3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the one of whom it is said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Also it says in Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh. See, there is no doubt that He is the Creator. He was the Creator of a finished physical creation. Surely we can see what these words mean now. To have any other interpretation would mean that God created God. How could God be created when He Himself is the Creator? All right. So now, this beginning of the creation of God. God condescending, changing His form to reveal Himself. He's not revealing Himself as a second person or a third person or anything. He's revealing Himself as the one true person. Right. Now, in doing that then, it's revealing to us that it cannot be saying that God created Jesus and Jesus created everything else. Now some of you maybe didn't hear the message here the other week. But see, Brother Branham said, I don't believe in eternal sonship. Now listen, the Catholic Church does not teach that Jesus is the eternal God, like we say, are thinking of. It's the Son of God that they say is co-equal and co-eternal. And the Son of God was the first form that went out of God. And even your scholars, I'll be glad to let you read Scofield and what he says about it. That was called the Son of God. He didn't wait till 2,000 years ago and then call him Son of God. The Word was the Son of God that created all things. That's why Colossians 1, Hebrews 1, John 1, and all says Jesus Christ, not Jesus the body. Jesus Christ created all things. The one true and living God. See, then as it is, he's condescending to where you and I can comprehend him. The great eternal, how could it be understood by, oh, that's just God. Yeah, that's what we called him for a long time, isn't it? It's like I told you about that man on the radio said, everybody talking about the name of God? Said, well, his name's God. Right? Well, see, then we turned around and we think, well, we got it, though, because we know now the word God means object of worship. But do you understand that the Catholic Church is not teaching eternal sonship as to Jesus the flesh? The Catholic Church is teaching eternal sonship as the one that come out in the beginning back there. And that's why the prophet said, we don't believe in eternal sonship. A son can be eternal, but we don't believe in eternal sonship. So then we don't believe what the Catholic Church is teaching. That God created Jesus and Jesus created everything else, but they're all co-equal and co-eternal. Then the prophet would say, that don't even make good sense. Alright? So we don't believe that. We believe that Jesus Christ was Almighty God. Amen. The Creator standing on earth. He said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sin. That's what the one stood on earth said. But see, we're talking about the condescending. The coming down to where we can get some idea or some way to comprehend about Almighty God. See, we look down to the natural creation. We go to Genesis 1 and we say, well, that's as far as we can go. That was as far as you and I could go. The theologians tried to go a little further because they'd go back and make the sun back there, and they knew those things. And as they did, they made it into Trinitarianism. But they did go further than you and I were going to Genesis 1. But see, the prophet said, Christ's mystery of God revealed. Let's go back in the back part of God's mind. Then he'd make statements like this, in the beginning, before the eternal. Ain't no theologian can comprehend that statement. They ain't no human mind can comprehend that statement. All you can do is accept it by faith and wait for God to reveal it. Then when he does, it'll be revealed to you that God is revealing himself to you. That's what he's doing. That's why I said here a while back, which one do you want, a revelation or a manifestation? Oh, if I could just see it, I was healed, I'd tell everybody it's healed. No, you don't get healed that way. You get healed by saying, I am healed. Then it's revealed to you. Then it can be made manifest. But there's no difference in it. Abraham had the baby. He just couldn't get nobody else, even Sarah, to be able to see it. But he had it because he had the substance of the baby. Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He had the revelation that it was there. When you get a revelation of the rapture, don't worry about it. Because really what you're going to do is you're going to get a revelation of something that's already taken place. I'm not talking about a future revelation today. I'm talking about a revelation that has already taken place. Some 6,000 years ago, God began to condescend to where we could comprehend. All right, he made angels. They worshipped him. Then he was called God. Then you jump over to the natural creation. And then when you get to the natural creation, see, the Word created a world and all the things. All right. But now remember what we've been trying to get you to see. Adam was the first created son. Jesus Christ. Now, I say Jesus Christ. When I say that, I mean Jesus Christ. I don't mean the flesh. Everybody connects him to Jesus, the flesh. Now, Jesus Christ, Jesus is Almighty God's name. The Christ is the anointing. When I'm talking about God himself. Not a oneness either, because you got to keep it connected. There's where your oneness won't do that. Your oneness won't keep it connected to where that Jesus could pray back to the Father and even talk about one day sitting on his Father's throne. They won't do that. All right. But see, the true revelation of one true and living God, God revealing himself to you and I, God in creation is the title. The other was the beginning of the creation of God. Now it's God in creation. He's going to take the creation and he's going to create such a way until the creation will reveal the Creator. I remember probably 35 years ago or something that I used to preach in the book of Genesis about those rivers and how they come out and the things like that, and you know, and each one of those rivers and what they meant, and it comes out justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the rivers there in Genesis, the different things. See, because that was what God was revealing. The Word is what he's revealing. All right, now listen to what he says on the message call. So now listen, let me get this point though first. Adam was the first created son. All right. Now, but Jesus was the beginning of the creation. Now God didn't create Jesus and then Jesus create Adam. Alright? But Adam was the first physical creation. We know he was created a spiritual man first. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then he was created a natural man. Genesis 2. Alright? But Adam then was the first created son, the prophet said. But Jesus was the only begotten. Not just begotten, but we're begotten through Jesus Christ. But Adam was the first created son. Jesus was the first begotten. That means he come into being not from another source, but the same source. That's why I tried to get you to see the other week that Isaac, the book of Hebrews said Isaac was Abraham's only begotten. We take it as saying, and it's right, that Ishmael come from Abram. Isaac come from Abraham, but just remember there was about 7 more sons and things by Abraham after then. That doesn't even fit into anywhere. So Abram fathered Ishmael by natural act. But Isaac was the promised seed of Abraham by revelation. That's why he's the only begotten. He was the only begotten of Abraham. Because he was part of Abraham. Not just because of his natural. So was Isaac. I mean, Ishmael. So was the other sons and daughter. But he was a part of that revelation. He was the revelation that Abraham had. And that's what Jesus Christ is. He's not a second person. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the beginning of the creation of God. Starting back there. Not waiting until 2,000 years ago. He was the beginning of the creation of God in the beginning. So let's read now. Why it had to be shepherds, 1964, 12, 21. He had started a new creation. What was it? A creation of Himself. God was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Bible said in the beginning of the creation of God. God was created in human form in Jesus Christ, His Son, God dwelt. He built His tabernacle of flesh and bones, lived in that tabernacle, God Emmanuel, God with us. He built Himself a house to live in so He could reflect His Word to His subjects through that. You know what God is when you see Christ. All right. Now we've taken a quick jump. Now down to this man that it says in Revelation 3:14 that he's the beginning of the creation of God.
Foreground window.
Now we're coming down to 2,000 years ago, yes. 2,000 years ago when a new creation begun. A new creation begun. We know that Christ and all was down through the Old Testament, sure. We know that was the Son of God because that was what it was to in the fiery furnace that they throwed in the tree. And the man said, you know, Nebuchadnezzar said, look, there's four in there. And that's got to be likened to the Son of God. Because like I always say to you, if I look down in a fiery furnace that had burned everybody up that throwed them in and I seen four people and only throw three in, I'd know for certain that that fourth one was God. But when he could look down and see him, he called him the Son of God. Why? Because that was God in a form that he could see. When did this beginning of the creation of God? Now, we've been through these before, but I'm just trying to get it to you. Especially for the internet folks and things, when they hear these. So just bear with it. It might be interesting to you if you'll bear with it. But listen to what he says. Where did this new creation begin? Number four on your notes, Future Home, 1964-0802, page 45. The blood that was created by God, the blood, the life, the creation of God. Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. Oh my, you see it? God made in creation. He was spirit. The Bible said he's the beginning of the creation of God. How did he begin? In the wounds of a woman, which is what? The woman is not like... As I said, it might be interesting to you to think. You don't just go to sleep because we're reading things we read before. Because have you ever noticed that word wounds is plural? See, Mary had two wounds, right? First was her brain, her soul, her being, to receive the word. That was virgin, or she would have not been able to receive the natural seed. So the prophet's right when he said, in the wounds of Mary. First, in her spiritual womb. Secondly, in her natural womb. Without the spiritual, there wouldn't have been any natural. All right, I said you might ought to pay attention. All right. Look on down on the next one from the Lady of Sion, Church Age, 1960, 12, 11, E, in the evening. This is paragraph 110 and 111. Now to show that he was the first, also as he was, he's the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, do you catch it? See? How could God be created that he's a spirit? How could he be? He is eternal. He never was created. He never will be created because he was God at the beginning. But he that is the beginning of the creation of God was Jesus Christ when he was made manifest. When God lived in him, he is God's creation. Oh my, see. the first and the last, the amen, the beginning of the creation of God. When God created himself a body, he can't come down and lived in it. That's the beginning of the creation of God. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Now we find at the first he showed that he showed his deity right here. I am the Almighty. I am he that was, which is, and shall come, the Almighty, to the church of Ephesus. Said it three times, is that right? Comes right on over to the Laodicean and said, I'm the Amen. I was the first back there. I'm the last over here. And I'm the beginning of the creation of God. Through the church ages that we're to have, you'll learn that I am God. God created in man form in the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. That would make a Presbyterian shout. Just think of it, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, oh, I like that, the creation of God. When God was created, when God was made flesh in Jesus Christ and dwelt among us. See, when God was made flesh and dwelt among us, there's the beginning of the creation of God. That little baby in the womb of the mother was the beginning of the creation of God. When that baby was born, it was a fulfillment of God's word, Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me. The soul was the soul of Almighty God, your prophet said, God rich in mercy. He said the Spirit, a message called faith, was the Spirit in sundry times and divers manners that spake to the fathers and the prophets. That was his Spirit. See, that was put into a baby at his birth, not on the River Jordan. Because he was born, the Bible said, Emmanuel, which is God with us. The prophet said, little Jehovah crying in a cradle, little Jehovah with no teeth. But see, everybody wants to make a great revelation out of it and jump over to the River Jordan. Well, what I can't understand, just put it on the River Jordan. If that was right, what I don't understand, they hadn't progressed any further. Because the River Jordan just began the ministry of Jesus Christ. What about the rest of it? When are they going to start preaching the rest of it? When are they going to get over on Mount of Transfiguration? Because he didn't say, hear ye him on the River Jordan. So there's something else about him on the Mount of Transfiguration that could finally come to say, hear ye him. He didn't say it on the River Jordan. That's why I can't understand it. They just get their little play parties and they run around and around and draw a big crowd because it makes everybody feel good. Because they can comprehend. I'd never seen that. Jesus wouldn't God till the River Jordan. See, you got to deny all the times where he said that he was God. You got to deny the Bible.
That's right.
But see, they think it's a great revelation.
Right.
No. And they think it was just a new one just come out by a brother, and I won't call his name, but he's known all over the world. And probably not the one you think I'm talking about, because there's two of them. But that doctrine was back in the 70s. We had ministers' meetings in the 70s about that doctrine. And I told them then I didn't believe it. So I didn't have to come along and hunt up a bunch of quotes to try to disprove something when they come out with their doctrine here in the last days and it's gone all over the world now. I'd already said what I was going to say. I didn't believe it. I believe what the Bible said. He was born to Emmanuel. Prophet said, if he's just a man, he said, then we're the most deceived people in the world. He said, because no man can die for another man. In body, sure, he was a man just like me and you in body. But his soul was the soul of Almighty God, and his spirit was the spirit of Almighty God. That's why Jesus would know what was in the Old Testament. That's why at 11, 10, 11, 12, 13, whatever he was, when he was there in the temple with those big leaders, he was already telling them about the word. Why? Because the spirit in him was the spirit that was in the Old Testament that directed the prophets. That's why he is the prophet. He's just not a prophet. He is the God of the prophets. He's God the prophet.
Amen.
That's what I don't understand about him saying Brother Branham was one appeared to John on Patmos. I know what the prophet said about that. But I know if they're using the first one there in Revelation 1, they better be careful, because red letter appears right out of them, and that one standing there says, I'm Alpha and Omega. Brother Richard Wilson, I was listening to him last night on one, and he really struck a good point. The prophet said, we bypassed the theophany, right? So if we bypassed the theophany, how could Brother Brown's theophany appear to John on Patmos?
Amen.
You just keep adding them little quotes in there, them little thoughts, to correct all of these things. Yeah. That would be a pre-existence of Brother Brown's theophany, and it wouldn't be pre-existence of yours. Of course, you know what I believe about the theophany. I believe there's only one theophany. I believe it was the theophany that appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ as the prophet. The prophet said the only book in the Bible where Jesus appeared personally to a scribe to write. The God of the prophet stood there, because he wouldn't receive worship when he was here on earth when they wanted to worship that body. He wouldn't accept it. He'd say, worship God. It all fits together. You just keep going, and it just keeps coming in. It just keeps, all this other stuff just gets flying outside. But now listen, I got to hurry, because I, look down at number 6 on your note, Revelation chapter 4, part 3, Throne of Mercy, which is a message, the Throne of Mercy. The throne, really. 1961-0108. Remember a couple of Sundays ago, we got it, the big diamond. But it's out. It's cut in many different ways to reflect the fire and light from it. That's the way. Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 1. Is that right? Then when was God created? He is the beginning of the creation of God, and God is eternal. Is that right? But when God was created, when a baby, little baby that was conceived in the womb of a mother, a virgin, and she began to develop these cells within her to bring forth this little baby, that was the beginning of the creation of God. For God was made flesh and dwelt among us and became Emmanuel, God with us, the beginning of the creation of God. There's where he was at. That was the beginning of the creation of God. That was the only begotten. Adam was the first created. Jesus was the only begotten because he was the beginning of the creation of God. He was the beginning of a new creation that we'll get way on later in the message. That he's no longer dealing by ways of the flesh as he did with the children of Israel. He's bringing a new creation. You see all of these movies, and I ain't no movie fan. You see all of these movies, though. And they're coming out with these Power Rangers. And they got all of this power. But then they got the guy back there behind in the bubble thing that he's supposed to be the most powerful and directing all their power. And everything just keeps building around and around. You know. Then you see Superman. Then you see all of these great things that today that they're trying to show you. They're trying to make like a superhuman people out of us. And they've developed it pretty high. I was reading probably 10 years ago where the military had a force that they could run all day long. For days. No sleep, no nothing. They were so super trained and human till it was just almost impossible the things that they could do. And I also remember reading about when old Geronimo and some of those Indians. I remember reading about one old man back there, an old Indian chief. He was eat up with arthritis. He'd run 15 miles a day. Killed 200 and something soldiers on their way from one place to another and never lost a man. Because they consider if they lost anybody in battle as defeated. David and them guys were knowed all about these karates and the things that we talk of today. But see, all of that is to try to pull the human element into a position to try to make us some super duper something. There's only one super duper. There's only one man. Arnold Schwarzenegger, however you pronounce it, he don't fit there. Paul Anderson, the strongest man that was in the world, he don't fit in there. This little man was the man who walked on the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago. There was the only man that I care anything about. The man Christ Jesus. That could be spit in his face and everything else and turn right around and say, I forgive you. See, we don't look at those things like that. We look on down. But listen. I was looking at a quote the other day and I forgot to bring it. The prophet was talking about a man called Melchizedek. And he said, would it be odd for you to think that God appeared in flesh before he appeared in Jesus? You need that quote, I'll be glad to find it for you. He said, would it be odd to you to think that God appeared as a man before he appeared in the Lord Jesus? That's Genesis 14, about 18, where Abraham met Melchizedek. The difference from that body and the body of the Lord Jesus was that body was spoken into existence, existed for the time, spoken right back out of existence. Not a virgin-born body. But to be a sacrifice for you and me, he had to be born virgin-born. A virgin-born body, a body that God provided, not that Mary provided the egg and God provided the sperm to make it come out. That wouldn't be God in human flesh. That'd be a perverted body. But see, he appeared there in a body back there. But not like he did in flesh 2,000 years ago when he came down to be the beginning. It doesn't call Melchizedek in Genesis the beginning of the creation of God. No. The Lord Jesus Christ is the beginning of the creation of God. The one that began in the womb of a mother and stepped forth as Almighty God upon this earth. A new creation. A creation different from man, but looked just like man. And every form looked like man, but was God manifested in flesh. Can we accept that? Can we accept that and believe it? That after all of these years, it would come down to where that one that would be there would be Almighty God in human flesh. Not a second person. Not just a human that would be, finally become God later on. Talking to Brother Forney about it the other day. The same people that teach that Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan and had to receive eternal life to become God on the River Jordan, same people teach that you come here with eternal life. Now, bud, if that ain't messed up. That you come with eternal life, but Jesus had to get it. Now that one, but I ain't no way I can fit that together now. That's beyond my spiritual comprehension. Because they preach you always was eternal. But Jesus wasn't eternal. And I said, Brother Forney. I said, Brother Forney, that's just beyond me. I can't think like that. But listen, church. We'll take it up this afternoon and we'll pick him up as a baby and then we'll go on for a little bit because I can't continue the message from where I'm at. I'll have to stop right here. But listen to what he says. Because this man, see, came into the world for a purpose. First, to reveal God. Second, to die for you and I. And if it wasn't God that died, you and I are still in our sins. But my God can't die. No, and Jesus never died from a spear in his side. He died of a broken heart. He said, I lay my life down. I'll take it back up. He never died from a Roman spear. He was already dead. Because he died of a broken heart for our sins because what we've done with the Word. But listen to the last one we'll read, which is actually 137 the church age book, number 7 on your notes. God came down in a blood cell, not through a man, but by the Holy Ghost. And in that virgin womb, a tabernacle for the purpose of death was built. The seed of the woman came in order that he be bruised to bring us our salvation. When the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, he created within her womb the cell that would multiply and become the body of our Lord. That cell was created. It was the beginning of the creation of God. That is who Jesus is. And that Holy One was filled with holy blood, even the blood of God. That tabernacle came to birth. He grew to be a man. He went to Jordan, and there that sacrifice was washed of John in the river Jordan. When that acceptable sacrifice rose out of the water, God came and indwelt him, filling him with the Spirit without measure. And when he died, he shed his blood. The perfect life of God was liberated to come back upon the sinner who would accept the Christ as his Savior. Right, we'll take up right there this afternoon. Because you see, the beginning of the creation of God was exactly what he was. God created a body to come and live in. God created a body that he could be your brother and my brother. He created a body for the purpose of dying in that body. You say, yeah, but Brother Dale, these brothers is preaching how the anointing left him. Yeah, the anointing left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. But they don't preach that anointing is supposed to come back on me and you in the end time either. They don't go that far. What I said, they're just halfway going. But just remember, my Bible says that when he died on the cross, he gave up the ghost. Now, that's either the Holy Ghost or you got a problem. But see, a baby born for the purpose is the beginning of the creation of God. That's why I believe like I do. That when we get to glory, you're not going to see a father sitting on a throne and a dove floating around to represent the Holy Spirit, you know, and a son standing over here. You're going to be able to do what was not able to do when they were on earth, when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. You won't look up there and there'll be halos and pillars of fire and all of these things going on. You'll see Jesus and realize who he is. And realize he came to die for you and I. Because he's the beginning of the creation of God. So then there must be more to the creation. The prophet said, we're the rest of that creation. But you see, church, come on, Brother Dick. You see, church, the beginning of the creation of God is exactly right. God coming down to reveal himself in human flesh was the purpose of starting in the beginning to condescend, to reveal Almighty God. He knew we could not in no way comprehend God as the forms of the Old Testament people or even to the Melchizedek. Abraham probably sat day in and day out and scratched his head about the man that he saw eat a calf. But see, church, the beginning of the creation of God is Jesus Christ. God made manifest on earth to begin a new race of people. That's exactly what he's doing. New creation, new race. And he's the beginning of it. Let's stand together. Coming up. the Lord. He is trampling out the vineyard where the grapes of wrath are stored. Anybody have a need? Because that beginning of the creation of God made a way to pay for our sins. That we could become part of that creation. Hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is mine. Have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in evening dews and day. I can read his righteous sin by the dim glaring lamp. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Yeah, truth is marching on. Listen to the words of the song. Has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. Think about it. Anybody have a need? Our brother's having trouble with his right eye, getting dim on him. Let's just believe and see. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know what it is to lose eyesight. We don't want our brother to lose. We want everything restored unto him as to be normal for the eye that he is. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Truth is marching. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Just sing that to one another as you go home. See you at 2 o'clock. Glory, glory, hallelujah.